Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the hottest new show on the internet, where your host is an innovator, motivator, captivator, an inspirator, and an authoress. She comes raw and uncut. Sit back and relax. You're about to be unmasked by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Every Friday, right here, 7:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Patti LaBelle.
Oh,
is your fondest memory of the Apollo?
Here we are live today with authoress Terry E. Lyle.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome again to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Shalonda. But I first want to give all honor to God and all glory that he woke me up this morning and started me on my way. Because for the people who know me, I've been going through a bout of medical issues lately, and I've been on the downside, you know. I've been hurting, and sometimes I just feel like, whew, why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? But, you know, in every test, there's a testimony, and I just thank God sometimes for the pain because they know I'm still alive. And I just want to thank everybody for joining in today, and our show is going to be very special because our guest is calling himself an ordained evangelist, pastored in the past. He wrote two books, simply Revelations, and he wrote Rapture Factor on America, and he teaches Bible prophecies. And we'd like to welcome today our special guest, Edward Brownlee. How are you?
I'm just fine, Terry, and glad to be with you tonight.
Thank you, and I appreciate you're here. I also want to say hi to my co-host, Shalonda, and we're going to be asking you some questions. But this show is going to be some that's going to be enlightening, and for the listeners who's out there who want to ask questions, we invite you to call in at 347-945-6003. If you press the number one key, we know you have a question. But the main thing I want to start with, my question is, where do you believe that you have the skills or the technique or whatever that you can prophesy what the Bible say? Because in the Bible, where God gives a lot of parables, and it is said that the Christians will know what he means because they are called by his name. But a lot of things ain't clear. Like, the Bible also say that when Jesus come again, we will not know the hour or the time, but to stay where you are in your walk, you know, because he's coming again. And so how are you gifted enough to share a prophecy that everybody else don't know? But, you know, I don't know the Bible like everybody else do. And like you said, you're ordained minister, but you call yourself evangelist. Could you explain that to me?
Well, first of all, I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I'm
Amen.
Baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And my father was a pastor slash evangelist also, and he actually got me started interested in prophecy when, as my teenage years, we used to sit around the kitchen table at supper, and he'd start telling me about Revelation and just begin to explain a lot of things to me. And I took it from there as I entered my adulthood. You know, the Bible says that it's through the Spirit that he'll teach you all things and bring all things back to your remembrance. So as a Christian, if you know Christ, you have to lean upon the Spirit of God as you read the Bible and study the Bible. Not only should, you know, everybody should read the Bible, but you should study the Bible, because the Bible says to study the Word, to show thyself approved, a workman, you know, not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Right. So
Amen.
It's by the Spirit of God that he'll teach you, if you're listening, what the word is saying. And then you also should compare scripture upon scripture, precept upon precept, line upon line. You know, you can use the Bible to, you know, use other scripture to interpretate other scriptures or find out their secrets. And for me, I've learned over the years, especially in prophecy, every word and every verse counts. You've got to look at every word, because one word can bring an enlightenment to you that you've never seen before. So, but it's truly by the Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you all things. You just rely upon him.
Well, you know, I agree with what you just said. And another thing I want to make a point to say is that I've been told all my life that the book of Revelation, when you can understand and you study the book of Revelation, you're doubly blessed. You know, and the book of Revelation is supposed to be what to expect, what's happening now. So could you just share one of the prophecies that you have learned over the years in the book of Revelations?
Well, when I wrote my commentary on the book of Revelation, one thing I do, I also glean from other authors other people that has written things about Revelation. Sometimes I don't totally agree with everything everybody says, and I'm sure everybody doesn't agree with what I say either. But you still have to glean from other people because God uses other people to teach you. And I'm sure you realize that, Terry, as you know, you're an author and you study the Bible, that you do have to glean from other ministers as they glean from you. And then you have to let the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you to what is correct concerning the Scripture. The biggest thing for me in Revelation, the last week I was putting it together for my publisher. Is it okay to say what who my publisher is?
Yeah, go right ahead.
It's Tate Publishing out of Mustang, Oklahoma, a Christian publishing company. It was the sixth seal. The sixth seal in Revelation chapter 6. I was setting up my computer one night, and I just pondering that scripture because, you know, I read everybody else's what they thought it was, and all of a sudden the Lord just dropped it into my spirit, what it really meant. And, of course, I used scriptures, other scriptures, to back it up once he gave me the revelation, what it really meant, and it just really thrilled me, and that's how the Holy Spirit works.
Okay, well, now you said you was talking in relationship to the sixth seal, the opening of the
yes.
sixth seal at the end time.
Right.
Okay.
That is that. The sixth seal is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And,
right, and isn't it supposed to be true that the Antichrist will come first and he will come like he's of the light to deceive us, but Jesus not coming to after the Antichrist come first?
Yes, the Antichrist will be here during the tribulation period. Yes, as Daniel 9:27 says, that he comes to confirm a covenant for 1 week, which we understand is 7 years, because Daniel is speaking of years, not weeks. As you study Daniel, you find that out. But the Antichrist, the world really will not know that he is the Antichrist at the beginning of the tribulation period. He comes to confirm. Now, he doesn't write the covenant. That's not what the Bible says. There's always, if he comes and confirms something, that means something's already in place. So he just comes and puts his approval on it because he's possibly going to be a man that many nations, because the Bible says many nations will take on this covenant. So he's going to be a man that that the world's going to look to accept him as, oh, yeah, if he's given his approval on this, this must be a good thing.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of TV this past week at one of the history channels, and it was talking about the Antichrist, and he was saying that he's going to come on like a slick Philadelphia lawyer, and he's going to bring solutions and peace. And because of the world that we live in today is in such an uproar and things are going on everywhere from war to famine to, you know, no respect for life or family, that, you know, we're going to be so needy for something that kind of like brings things in perspective that we're going to grasp this man to be the true Christ. And he's not going to be, he's going to be the Antichrist. So what should a Christian do to make sure they don't get caught up and swept up into the peaceful environment after going through so much unrest so that they will not fall prey to the Antichrist when he come on first?
Well, Jesus said in St. Luke chapter 21, verse 36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape those things which are coming upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man." That's speaking of the rapture. The rapture, I'm a pre-trib rapture man, and that's what I truly believe, and I've studied all the other theories, mid-trib rapture, pre-wrath rapture, post-trib rapture, post-millennium, I've read them all, but, you know, it's funny, there's six different theories out there, and that's man's number six, so, you know, I don't believe the church will be here during the tribulation. I believe they'll be caught away, as the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in yes, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, the dead in Christ shall rise first at the first trumpet sound. Yeah, and then the last trump, the second trump, there's two trumpets in this one big event because the dead in Christ shall rise first, you know, and then we which are alive and remain on the earth at the second, the last trump, will be changed and will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air.
Yeah.
And Jesus said we must be accounted worthy and pray, watch ye therefore and pray always. You know, and we're accounted worthy because the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, he's the one that died upon that tree that to give us, you know, that covering for our sin, his precious blood. And I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus.
Oh, I am too. And I got another question as well before I get to Shalonda. My question is, you know, I look in the book of Romans and all through the Bible where it tells us that no one will be without sin. You know, so when we be judged, we're going to be judged according to our walk and our talk, whether we act like Jesus, be like Jesus, and whatever. So because we know that we all are going to fall short, what do a person who heart and spirit is caught up in Jesus, what should they do other than, you know, try to change those things that they know are unpleasing to the sight? I mean, other than, you know, I've read that if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's it, that's all, you're going to hell, you know. But what can a Christian do to make sure they are caught up in the air if they happen to be here when the rapture comes?
Well, first of all, no one's perfect. I'm not perfect. You know, Jesus didn't call us to be perfect because he knew we couldn't be perfect. He was perfect because he was born of the Holy Spirit, and he knew no sin and did no sin. But see, we're born after the similitude of Adam. You know, Adam sinned in the garden, and so sin and death passed upon all mankind. So it's a walk of faith. Right. The Bible says that just walk by faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if your faith is in Jesus Christ, as long as you're reading the Bible, you know, and you love Jesus, and you're walking by faith, even though you make mistakes, he's there to forgive us of our sin. If we commit sin, he's there to forgive us. And you pick up the cross and you continue to walk by faith. And as long as you're doing that and you're watching for his coming and, you know, and you're praying and seeking the Lord, you'll be counted worthy because of not what we do or have done, because of what Jesus has done. And it's because of that blood. You know, he says, when I see the blood, I shall pass over you. So, you know, that means he'll take us home.
Amen.
It's a walk by faith. And, you know,
she has a question she want to ask. But before she asks a question, I want to remind my listeners that if you got a question for Edward Brownlee, ordained evangelist, and the worker of Christ spreading the gospel of good news, call in at 347-945-6003 and hit the number one key, because any question you might have about the Bible, this is your time to make it plain. But my co-host Shalonda got a question for you, Mr. Brownlee. Go ahead, Shalonda.
Okay.
Hi, Mr. Brownlee.
Hello.
I was just reading some of the information about your book, Rapture Factor on America. And I wanted to for you just to explain a little bit about your belief in the United States having a divine purpose.
I believe God put America here for a divine purpose. When you read about our founding fathers and those that came from Europe, most of them were coming over here not only for religious freedoms, but also just universal freedoms. There was a lot of, they called the feudal, I probably don't say it right, law in Europe where you had to serve kings and you didn't really have the right to own land, and they had state land churches where, you know, the laws came from the church and they were harsh. And you know, a lot of people wanted to come to America to have more freedoms. And, you know, in my book, I don't say all the founding fathers are Christians. We know they weren't all Christians. But the biggest point to me about the founding fathers, even though they were not all Christians, they put God on the front burner. In other words, they kept God in their thoughts, you know, and they kept God in their knowledge, you know, and that's why our founding documents had that Christian point of view, because they kept God on the front burner. Unlike most of our government officials today, including the federal and state level, they put God on the back burner, you know, so. I just believe most of them come over here for that, and God knew that the United States would become the nation that it has become, but he also knew that close to the last days or the end of, I don't want to say the end of time, but the end of dispensation of grace, that America would fall. In my book, I talk about the demise of the giant. I call the United States the giant. Those things that have happened in the last 100 years that has evolved to bring us down as a nation. But God put the United States here primarily for two reasons. And I mentioned that in my book. Number one, God knew the United States would spread the gospel. You know, Jesus is the one that spreads. Yeah, Jesus is the one that spreads the spiritual seed, the good seed. And, you know, I talk about all kinds of denominations that came to America. Even the Church of England found its way into the colonies. But then you had the Catholics, you had all the Protestants, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, even the Baptists. We even had Jewish synagogues.
Okay, well,
you know,
Mr. Brownlee, you talk about all these different religions that came over here. What is your opinion of the one true church, and where do you get your information from? Because a lot
I get my information
today,
from the Bible. The true church is in
Jesus
Christ.
Okay, I understand it, but what I'm trying to say, I may have not said it clearly enough, but a lot of people here in the United States have a lot of different religions that they study with, whether it's Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, Baptists, and they call them Seventh-day Adventists. They call them denominational church. But from the Bible, when Jesus said, on his rock, he built his church, talking to the disciple Peter. That was the Church of Christ that came about in 533 A.D., I think it was, before the Roman Catholic Church came into existence. Do you agree with that's the true church?
Correct. The church is in Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't bring a religion. Jesus brought preaching a kingdom, and that kingdom's in the hearts of men through Jesus Christ. I always like to say, some people may think this is rude, but no religion is going to heaven. You got to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. All denominational names cannot save you. I was raised in an independent Pentecost church. My dad was Pentecost background, but we understand that our church was called the Lighthouse, the Pentecost Lighthouse. We understand the Pentecost Lighthouse name was not going to get me into heaven. You know, it's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the only name under heaven where man must be saved by. It can't be through the name of Catholicism or Methodist or Mormon or Jehovah's Witness. Can't be none of them. You have to lift up the name of Jesus, because Jesus said, "If you lift up my name, I will draw all men unto me." So you have to be in Jesus. It's all about Jesus.
It is about Jesus. And this is what the hour is going to be about, Jesus, and it's about people increasing your faith, learning more wisdom, and sharing what they know and the question they might have to, you know, ask, you know, for clarification in their own spirit, what they need to know, because this is the time we're going to have church appeal on this radio, but we need to take a small break. And when we come back from the break, I want everybody to call 347-945-6003. Get your Bibles out. Get your questions ready, because you got the man on the scene who can answer them better than I can, because I can't do it like Jesus. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back in 2 and 2.
Cried so many hours trying to make it right, just didn't have the power, and you ignored all my in the hopes they disappear. I tried to let it go, but I guess you just don't want to know. And if I had a dime for every time that I could cope. Well, I discovered I could make it. In nights so long and cold, so cold, you don't know how cold. I discovered I could take it.
now I wouldn't change a thing. No, no. Not for the knowledge, not for the knowledge that I've gained. Let me say it like this.
Into my mind, I thought about a nice hot soothing bubble bath, candles, a nice glass of wine with just the right book to read. And instantly I thought about authoress Terry E. Lyle because I knew I was guaranteed to get a good laugh or some soul searching, just like a few of her other books, Insane, Peeling Back the Mask, and her latest, Exposed. This author has written 9 books, and I can't pick a favorite, but my advice to you is make your own choice by going to her personal website, where she even autographs the books for free at www.terrylyle.com, or go to Author House, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local retailer to get your copy and start your collection today, because this is the last time I'm going to say that you can't borrow mine.
And welcome back to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, and our special guest is Edward Brownlee. But before we get to talking to him again, I just want to say thank you for my listeners for calling in, because this is the opportunity that you can ask any biblical question that you may have. If you just dial 347-945-6003 and press the number 1 button. I know you have a question, and I want to give a shout-out to Lillian and Curtis Holt, Carla Talley, Lola Matthews, Adela H. Wilson, and I just want to tell my guest, he is the author of Rapture Factor on America and Simply Revelations. He teaches Bible prophecies. He's an ordained evangelist, and he passed it in the past, and he lives in the state of Illinois. And I don't want to welcome him back, Edward Brownlee. How are you, sir?
Oh, just fine.
Yeah. Before the break, I was asking you about, I belong to the Church of Christ myself, and I am taught that when Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, and he was talking about Peter, and it was the Church of Christ in 533 A.D. Now, that's the founder of my faith and religion, Jesus Christ. And everything else to me is considered to be nominational churches because they came after the fact. And they have different founders, like Jehovah's Witnesses, their founder is somebody else. The Roman Catholic Church, their founder is somebody else. But my founder is Jesus. So with that being said, you know, there's a lot of confusion when I try to share Jesus with other people because they believe that because they are praising the Lord and they got this music and they jumping and thumping and everything like the Old Testament in the book of Psalms 151 about using cymbals and harps and everything, but the New Testament is what we're supposed to follow because that's the covenant that Christ made with us. The Old Testament is where we came from, but not where we're going. So you made a point. You said that it don't make a difference what you call yourself because it's all about who's in the Christ. And I know I said a couple of things all mixed up in one, but the bottom line I want to know is how do we know that someone is not going down the wrong road because they have diluted the Bible? Because if I make a cake, and I make a cake with sugar, eggs, and milk, and all the trappings, then I make another cake with cornmeal, buttermilk, and it looks the same when it's finished, but it ain't the true religion. So how are you to clarify to everyone listening that the Church of Christ is not, in fact, the true church opposed to the other denominations out there?
Well, you know, Apostle Paul, he was a Pharisee, and he wrote, I think, 14 of the 27 New Testament books. And he was happy that Christ delivered him from the Jewish religion. He found Christ on the road to Damascus. And that's right. And he said, I count all things dung that I may win Christ. So we have to win Christ. We have to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And you have to invite him in and accept him as your Savior by asking forgiving of your sin. And then you know, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll know his voice, and you'll pick up the cross. Like he said, pick up the cross and follow me. And you're not supposed to follow man. You're supposed to follow Jesus. And you're supposed to listen to the Spirit, you know, the voice of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, because he's here around the earth. He said, I'll send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will abide with you forever. And, you know, the Bible says there are many, many voices in the world, and none of them without significance. So, you know, we don't want to listen to all the voices of the world. We want to listen to God's Word through his Holy Spirit and know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if you do that, like I said earlier, and walk by faith, you'll go in the rapture as long as you love him with all your heart. That's the key, love.
Right.
You know, that's the two greatest commandments in the Bible.
Yeah, let me say this, Mr. Brownlee. There's a lot of people out there that I know in my spirit that they are good people. They're trying to do right. They're trying to follow Jesus. And they are in a different church other than the Church of Christ. And sometimes I'm concerned that I don't want my family members dying because we're not in the same church. And like you said, it's about who follows Jesus. How does that equate with these people trying to do right that think they're in the right church? And you say it don't make a difference as long as you're following Jesus. Then why are so many people getting, you know, turned off the, off the mark? You know, why are they so led astray so easily, want to believe in things that they put them to these churches, like the Jim Jones cult thing, the Waco thing, you know, the guy, heaven sent thing, looking at a spaceship going to come and get them. Why do these people get caught up so easily if they are in their heart trying to follow what they think is Jesus?
They're listening to man and the devil. You know, the devil comes to seek and to destroy and to kill.
Yes.
And when people open up their hearts to the devil and won't listen to the Word of God or search for the real truth, churches that actually preach Jesus Christ and the salvation through Jesus Christ, and then they open themselves up to the devil. And, you know, the devil takes advantage of people because they won't listen. They'll listen to all those other voices instead of the real voice that's trying to speak to them to come home and to receive Christ. And people don't realize the power of the enemy, the devil. He's the greatest enemy to man's souls. And that once you find Jesus Christ, once you're under that blood covenant, you're safe from the devil. As long as you abide in Christ and listen to Jesus and walk by faith and, you know, and learn of his word. But if you don't have that blood covering, that sure opens you up to a lot of things that may come into your life that you don't want.
And I agree with that. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I was raised in a religious family, and I've always wanted to find the true church. And as I was growing up into adulthood, you know, I've jumped around from Methodist to Baptist to, you know, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Church of Christ, da-da-da-da-da, you know, because I wanted to, you know, I wanted to make sure my soul had a chance to make it to heaven. You know, I didn't want to be caught up into the wrong thing. And while I was going through my search in my spirit for the right church, I got caught up being in the Mormon church. Now, what I would tell people is that, you know, there are a lot of people who have very good oratorial skills, and they come off real good, and they sound good, and they say the things that your spirit needs to hear, and some of them be jumping up and down, and they're entertaining other things for you. But the thing that got me away from the Mormon church is because I was always raised to believe that part of baptism is to acknowledge by mouth that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to turn from your wicked ways, and to go down in a watery grave and come up new, okay? And the Mormon church, they wanted me to baptize for the dead that has been dead years ago down the road. I was going to fill in as a proxy. And I said to myself, I ain't doing that because I don't know that person. That person's dead. I don't know whether he was evil or good. And that was the thing that got me away from them. But they didn't want me to get away so easily. Man, they came to my house, kept tag-teaming me, trying to talk stuff to me because they had gave me some free food and got me a job at the military base. I mean, they was mean and nasty, you know. And so my advice to people is, you know, follow your gut instinct. Sometimes you got to get that book out and you got to dust it off and you got to read it for yourself, because if I tell you something that sounds good to you and I'm feeding what you want to be fed, you know, then you're going to believe what I'm saying, but it ain't in the Bible, you know. And I'm getting so sick and tired of all these different translations of the Bible, you know, where I believe that the King James Version is the most accurate Bible to follow, because all these different women's Bible, men's Bible, children's Bible, New Testament Bible, all these translations are sickening. And what's your opinion on that?
I use the King James.
Me too.
I use the King James Version, yes.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says it's appointed that man wants to die, then the judgment. Once your body, you know, your heart ceases to beat and the soul and spirit comes out of your body, and right then you're judged whether you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. But the Bible does say it's appointed that man wants to die, then judgment. So as far as baptizing the dead, that scripture right there kind of knocks that out. You can't help them once their body and soul releases, and they've already been judged.
That's right.
I've done funerals.
I've
done funerals, and I just say they're in God's hands, you know,
right,
for judgment.
Yeah, the Mormons also taught that once a person died, that if they didn't have a chance to know about Jesus, they got a little time to be taught and accept him, you know, in the hereafter. But, you know, from the beginning of time, God had made it so that everyone knows about him, so you can't use that as an alibi. You know, even different, you know, racial groups, you know, they still have that basic foundation. that there was something special came down the sun and a virgin birth, you know, and it's all the same story just told in their culture, you know. And it's just sickening, and I'm like everybody else. Don't nobody want to go to hell. I want to make it to heaven. I want a mansion in the sky so I can decorate that, and I want to be there with my family and loved ones, and I just pray that, you know, I do what's right. You know, I'm not perfect. I mess up. I clown, you know. I curse, and I need to work on cursing. But my spirit, I got a good spirit. I got a good heart, you know. And I just want to know what it is I need to know to get there. But we're going to mention real quick about your book, Simply Revelations. What bring that book about?
I wanted to do a commentary on the book of Revelation. I've always been intrigued with Bible prophecy because I'm 56 years old, so I've been studying it probably real hard for the last 20 years. And the Lord just kind of laid it on my heart to do a commentary on it's just an overview. The book's probably less than 250 pages. I think it's 248 pages long. And it's just an overview. It's not, I do go in depth in part in some of the chapters, but most of all, it's just an overview of the book of Revelation. I'm a simple man. I write with very simplicity. And the people that have read it, there's good comments about it. I have, I think, two reviews on Simply Revelation. I think four or five reviews on Rapture Factor. And that's one of the things they say about my writing, that the simplicity of they like it. And they like the way I explain things and the way I bring things to how I say it.
Well, explain for us and our listeners about the end time when the moon turns the blood red and the fire come from the sky. Explain your prophecy about the end times.
Well, the moon turning into blood and the sun turning into sackcloth or dark, that's going to happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ. We will be with him. Revelation chapter 19 tells us that the saints will be in white linen, and we'll be upon them horses, and we're going to follow Jesus, the Word of God, and he'll have a two-edged sword. And as we're coming to the earth out of heaven, from the planet heaven, I say, as we approach the earth, of course, Jesus and us, we're coming back to rescue Israel, because at the second coming of Jesus, the Armageddon at the Valley of Jehoshaphat, Megiddo, is about to take place. The Antichrist comes to power in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. He's here for the whole 7 years, but the two witnesses, Elijah and Enoch, control the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, because power is given unto them for the first half, and power is given unto the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet for the second half. So when Jesus comes back, the Antichrist will be in the Valley of Jehoshaphat with all his armies, ready to destroy Israel. And we come through the clouds. And when that happens, it'll be daylight over there, and they'll be getting ready to march upon Israel. And they'll wonder what happened to the sun, you know, because it'll turn sackcloth, it'll turn dark. And what they don't realize behind those clouds is Jesus, and we're behind Jesus, the saints, and his Shekinah glory is blocking the sun out. You know, when you look at an eclipse, you know, when the earth passes between the sun and the moon, the sun, the earth blocks the sun rays hitting the moon directly, and the only sun rays that hit the moon are those that go around the earth, and they cause the moon to look like blood, red. I don't know if you've ever seen an eclipse like that, but Jesus is the only one that's going to be able to do this. He'll block the sun out, and they'll think that, hey, man, we're having a solar eclipse. Nope, it's Jesus behind the clouds. And when those clouds are removed, the Bible says lightning shall flash from the east to the west. Well, that's Jesus' glory going to the ends of the earth, blocking the sun rays, hitting the earth, and the only sun rays that will get around the earth are the same ones that will make the moon look like blood. See, and that's where that prophecy come true about the sun turning to sackcloth and the moon looking like blood, and only Jesus Christ can call the eclipse of the sun and cause the moon to turn blood at the same time. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
And then, of course, the armies of the Antichrist are destroyed at that moment. Zechariah describes that their eyeballs will fall back into their sockets and the flesh will melt away from their bones, and there'll be a river of blood for 200 miles. And we come back to rescue Israel. Amen.
And let
me
ask you a question,
excited.
Because you said the ones who were dead in Christ will be rose first, and then the ones that was transformed in the twinkling of an eye in the rapture when they come to fight with Jesus. So like any battle, you know, there's I hit you, you hit me. So everyone that's behind Jesus, even though they're battling Satan and his demons or whatever you want to call them, his followers, so everything that the ones that's following Jesus, every sword that they aim at one of the antichrist demons or unholy or ungodly, they're going to immediately fall. So none of the people that's behind Jesus is going to die because they're going to automatically win regardless though they're battling one-on-one.
Oh, yeah, Jesus will win the fight. Oh, yeah, Jesus says Jesus will fight for us, and he'll win the fight at Armageddon. We're just along
so
for the ride.
Be fighting too, like you know how you
His glory, the Bible says his glory will destroy him. The Bible declares that his glory will destroy the armies of the Antichrist. And we're just along for the ride to come back to set up the 1,000-year millennial reign with Jesus Christ and the rule of the earth for 1,000 years.
And my co-host, Shalonda, she has another question for you, Mr. Brownlee.
Okay.
I know I grew up, and I know a whole lot of people who grew up in it, especially in my days. Like my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my mother, they always say we live in the end days. We live in the end of time, things like that. And I can think back to as far as I can remember, probably 4 or 5 years old, my great-grandmother saying this, and it used to scare me. to death to think that I wasn't going to be able to live my life because the world as we knew it was going to end. Do you think that maybe, like, say, our generation or my children's generation will be the ones to see the end of days?
I believe my generation will see it. I'm 56. You know, even the disciples look for the coming of Jesus, and for the last 2,000 years, every generation looked for the coming of Jesus. But even though they topped that Jesus is coming soon, there were certain prophecies that had to happen. Fulfilled before the coming of Jesus. And one of them is Israel coming back as a nation. And we know that happened in May of 1948 because, you know, the Bible in the Old Testament prophesied that God would bring his people back to their homeland from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And that has happened. A lot of people don't understand. That's why the Soviet Union fell, because a lot of Jews came out of the old Soviet Empire and went back to Israel. And Israel is standing today as a pretty little powerful nation. And of course, the Jews are married to God as we are married to Jesus Christ. That's the Bible. And of course, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're a spiritual Jew. So. And we're going to rule and reign from the land of Israel someday in a new city called New Jerusalem. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, well, Mr. Brownlee, I want to ask you something else about the 10 plagues in the book of Exodus, because a lot of people are trying to dispel that God is real, and they're trying to act like these things are just not true. But I was watching History Channel, and they were talking about in Exodus how, you know, they talked about the red blood for 7 days, the frogs, the gnats on man, and swarms of flies, and all the stuff, pestilence, disease, darkness, hailstorm, you know, and firstborn dying and stuff like that. And for everything that they was talking about, they was trying to break down the possibility scientifically whether that could happen. And what they proved was scientifically these things can happen, because like the red blood thing, they said it was some kind of algae that built up that causes the tinting of the blood, and then the blood created those frogs that came on land and blah, blah, blah. Everything, it was proven scientifically. And, you know, it just amazes me when you can prove things scientifically that is said in the Bible, why people just don't believe that what God says is true and it's going to happen the way he says it's going to happen. But everybody want to think is that theory of evolution. I don't get it.
Well, I'm not against science.
I'm
science
not either.
Can never disprove the Bible. They can't disprove the Bible. They only can prove the Bible is right. Because I have a saying, faith goes beyond science. Faith
mm-hmm.
is what you believe. Yes. And what God tells you and what the Word of God says to you by his precious Holy Spirit. So every time, faith will go beyond science. But science can teach you some things. Science is not always correct, but what God tells you by faith through his Spirit is correct. And I just like that saying that faith goes beyond science. So if the Bible says that he turned the river into blood, it happened. That's coming back in the trumpet judgments in Revelation chapter 8, that there'll be, you know, the rivers will turn into blood. Fresh water will turn into blood.
Wow.
That's coming.
And
yes.
We lost the world by days of Noah. Okay, and then Sodom and Gomorrah was destruction by fire from the sky. Some people say meteorite or whatever. So how
some
is the world
volcano.
Going to end this time?
Beg your pardon?
The world was destroyed once by flood. Okay,
right.
Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire from the sky, explosion, meteorite, whatever. Okay, the world as we know it, when it comes to end, how is it supposed to come to end this time?
Well, after the 1,000-year millennial reign, of course, during that 1,000 years, Satan is bound for 1,000 years, and
mm-hmm.
the people of the earth will only know the peace of Jesus Christ, and they'll see how Jesus works in the earth, how everyone will be blessed. And everyone will grow their own foods. Everyone will have their own property. There won't be the evil man around stealing everything from them, taking everything from them, or rude dictators or bad governments. But they'll see the love and the grace of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. But after that 1,000 years, Satan is turned loose for a season, the Bible says. And he goes out and deceives the world. Well, the reason why is because during that 1,000-year of peace, there'll be children born unto mankind. Because there will be people in flesh and blood that will make it through the tribulation, that are into the millennial reign. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 25 when he separates the goats and the sheep nations. And the sheep
mm-hmm.
nations are those that help Israel. And I believe that's why the United States will go into millennial reign. Because that's one of the earlier when I said there's two purposes for the United States. One was to spread the gospel. The second one,
mm-hmm.
God knew that the United States would protect Israel. He needed a powerful nation to protect Israel. Just as the devil uses nations in the world to work his evil devices, God uses nations in the world to bring about his divine plan for the ages. So
mm-hmm.
Those children, as we get back to those children being born in the millennial, they'll have never been tested. So they have to be tested because God is a true and righteous judge. So they have to be tested. And the Bible says they come as the sands of the seas. He deceives many people. And they come as the sands of the seas against Jerusalem, against Jesus Christ, against the saints and those people that once stayed with us, the flesh and blood people then. But then God
mm-hmm.
comes down. Yes. And he takes the old devil and the prince, God, that's mentioned in Revelation, and those people that went with the devil, and they cast death and hell and all them into the lake of fire. And when he does that, he just picks all of us up off the earth. And the Bible says he burns the earth with fire. And the crust of the earth, because, see, the Bible says the foundations of the earth are forever. So the foundations, the earth is here forever, and it's supposed to be inhabited forever. That's in the book of Job. So he's just going to burn the crust, get rid of all the things that man made, and make it all brand new. There will be no more seas or oceans. The new earth will have nothing but lakes and rivers and a lot more land and then water. And he makes it new, and he puts the flesh and blood people on the earth, and they will be saved people because they chose to be with Jesus Christ. And then that's when the new city, New Jerusalem, comes down and sets upon the earth, which will be 1,500 miles square, as the Bible teaches, 12,000 furlongs, which equals out to be 1,500 miles square. And it'll set in the same place where Jerusalem is now. It'll take up it'll compass the area from the river of Nile in Egypt all the way to the great River Euphrates in Iraq. So that's going to be our city.
You're telling me that's going to be only enough people that's going to be saved that can fit that small space, and considering what you're talking about, what's inhabited now over the globe, that one spot is going to be for all the saved people, and everything else is going to be nothing?
Oh, no. The whole earth will be regrassed, reforested. There'll be rivers. There'll be lakes. He'll restock the earth with animals. There'll be fish. The Bible says that most of them will go back to being farmers. They'll have children. They may not have children quite as often. Because remember when Adam and Eve sinned and left the garden, and God multiplied the conception of Eve, meaning that she would have children every 9 months because he knew man was going to die now that death had entered into his realm. Well, he multiplied her conception, and of course she was going to have children with sorrow and pain. But in New Earth, that's a curse, see? Eve was cursed because she took of the fruit. But in the New Earth, that curse will be lifted. So I kind of believe that women will not have children every 9 months. If they get impregnated, they may have children only every 4 or 5 years. Who knows? I'm just guessing, but I know it won't be every 9 months. And,
that's a long pregnancy, my. But you
well,
know,
you know, it won't even happen every 4 or 5 years. That's what I'm saying, you know.
Right.
But there won't be that many people to start the new earth. I don't know how many. We know the Bible teaches during the tribulation period that 2/3 of everything will die. So we got around, what, 6 to 7 billion people in the earth? You know, I don't know how many Christians are in the earth, but let's just say if there's 1 billion Christians in the earth, I'm just saying that. That leaves 5 billion people or 6 billion on the planet for the tribulation. That means that the earth could lose 3 to 4 billion people in 7 years. Yep.
Wow.
So, I mean, oh, yeah. And then you have the millennial reign will repopulate the earth, but then you have Satan deceiving the earth again, and they said it comes to the sands of the sea. So who knows? We may only start the new earth with less than 1 billion people. I don't know. Really don't know. We only can guess at that. But studying Bible prophecy, I know that it's not going to be a great number.
Wow. And
it's
on that note, Mr. Brownlee, we need to take a break. And for anybody who's listening, you need to call in at 347-945-6003. Hit the number 1 key if you got a question for our guest, and we'll get right to that question. And stay tuned for a momentary break. And before, on the other break we took, the song was by Pastor Marvin Winans, They Just Don't Want to Know, and the next song will be played is by Hezekiah Walker, Lord Do It.
break. I said I feel a praise break. I said I feel a praise break. Because I ain't got no doubt in my mind that he can do it.
What you doing?
Reading.
I can see that. What's the title of the book?
Insane.
Oh, I heard about that author.
Where'd you hear?
I heard that she is authoress Terry Elow, who lives in Alabama. She's written and published 7 books. Insane is her 8th book.
Wow, you are right.
So where did you get your book?
From her website, www.terrylow.com. You also get it on Amazon straight to your Kindle.
Can I read Insane when you finish?
No way. This was autographed to me. But you can go to her website, www.terrylow.com, and get your own autographed copy.
Write that down for me.
I sure will.
Wow. That song at the break was Lord, Do It For Me by Hezekiah Walker. It did something to my spirit. Because while I sit there and I listen to that song, it just kind of made me get all choked up because I know God is real. I thank God for my mom who from as a baby, she kept us in the church. And when we was going to the Methodist church, we had confirmation classes. You know, you go to church. I just thank God that these parents out there are giving these children foundations, because if you have the foundation of life, then you'll grow up and you don't know where to turn when you're going through some things. And life is going to take you through some trials and tribulations. Trust what I tell you, because if you haven't been through it, you're going to go through it and you're going to be tested. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, that foundation, Lord, 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 you're going to be saying, Lord, do it for me. And real quick, I want to bring back our guest, Mr. Brownlee. And before we get started in talking to Mr. Brownlee about his book, Simply Revelations and Rapture Factor on America, I just want to take a minute to ask him to say a prayer before we get started with the questions. If anybody want to call and ask a question, call in at 347-945-6003. Hit the number 1 key. Mr. Brownlee?
Yes.
Okay. Could you lead us in prayer before we get started on this other half of our show?
Sure. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask that by your Spirit, Lord, that you would lead and guide this show, Lord, that you would help us, Father, through thy Spirit to say the right words, Father, that would be a blessing and encouragement to the listeners. Father, we just ask that you would have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Like, you know, this is one thing, and I'm being honest, and that kind of, I'm hoping I'm not wrong, but where I'm going with this. Now, I belong to the Church of Christ, and I grew up in a Baptist Pentecostal environment where, you know, I used to shout. We have drums and all that, and yes, I agree. I love music, and sometimes just the melodies and the songs, it does it for me. It, you know, it evokes that thing inside of me that lets me know that the Holy Spirit is real. And I'm not saying I can't get that just by people talking to me. And at my church, you know, we sing songs, but I wish that we had it more focused where we can have a song ministry where we can pick different songs instead of playing a title song, because, you know, it seems sometimes it's hard to get somebody's attention when you're in church, because a lot of people, they're preaching, they're putting people to sleep, or, you know, they're playing it tired music that is good for their generation. They don't want to switch up, you know, and I ain't trying to fall by the wayside, be, sifted like wheat, you know, but my spirit, it needs that something else that makes me want to get up and say hallelujah. And I come from that environment. But when I go to my church and when a minister be saying something, you know, I'll be feeling the urge to say, praise God, hallelujah. But then I look around because the people there around me, they are so tight the butt cheeks won't even move. And they won't do nothing. They sit there and listen to it. And I'm saying to myself, what is it? How can I be inspired by the word of God? How can I be so excited by what I'm hearing the minister speak? And I want to say, hallelujah, praise God. But if I do it, I'm that strange chick from Baltimore. She's going to bring all that noise down here. Now, if the God that I serve is doing stuff for me and doing stuff for you, why can't we praise him out in the open? Why can't we jump up and down? You know, I got a problem with that. And maybe that's why I'm a little rebel when I go to church, because I come in there like a peacock. I throw my head back and I come there all crazy and loud because I don't care, because they don't know what I've been through and they don't know what I go through on a daily basis. And I'm getting sick and tired of when I go to churches that I get there and people want to sing and stand all still like they're marching in place and can't praise the Lord. And only time when somebody else, an elder or somebody say, preach, preach the word, that's okay. But let a sister jump up there and say, hallelujah, then I'm clowning, I'm showing off. But I got a lot to be grateful for, because people who know my story, I could be, you know, dead grave by now. I went down that hill and that tractor trailer and I flipped over 4 or 5 times, busted up my body, surgery's all over me. They don't know what I've been through, and that song is bringing back to me. I'm sick and tired. When I go back to church on Sunday, I will come up in there. Don't let them say something that hits my spirit, because I will be preaching the word. I'm going to jump up and down. I'm going to say, hallelujah. And if it don't work for your church, I'll go somewhere else. I just have to get that off my chest. Shemana, ask your question.
Yes, I'm a worshiper myself. The Bible says everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And the Bible says God is a spirit, and they must worship him in spirit and truth. And
my wife is
a quiet worshiper, but I'm a loud worshiper. You know, I like to raise my hands and praise God and tell him I love him and speak in tongues and praise the Lord. And, of course, our pastor here, she's a loud worshiper, and a lot of people here are loud worshipers. But we need to worship God. You know, the Bible says he inhabits our praises. He lives within our praises. You know, when the church praises God, that brings the angels in. You know, they love to feel the warmth of the Spirit, and they love to see the saints of God worship God. And God wants us to worship him and praise him, because in that worship and praise, there are blessings. And that's why we need to worship him.
And I believe
yes,
that,
I
too.
Am
and
a
I don't
worshiper.
Have no problem with people saying that, okay, but we don't have to use music and stuff. I ain't got no problem with that. You can praise him with your voice, but I'm just so sick and tired when I'm in church. You know, the best thing I can do is hold my head down and go to sleep, because if I say something or clap my hands, people turn around and look at me like I'm strange. What is it about, if you say you love the Lord that you serve, why ain't you happy? Why you sitting there like you're pissed off?
Right.
Why you acting like, why did I come? Why you sitting there like, it's time to go home? Why you acting like, oh, Lord, I got to be here? Why come if you ain't coming to praise him?
Yeah.
But you know something? I'm not going to get off chastising nobody else, but I'm going to say it for me, right here and right now. I tell you that I don't care what y'all think y'all know about me, because y'all don't know me like y'all think y'all do. I love the Lord. I got some personal issues on myself that I'm working on. Cussing is one of them, but I'm an honest female, and I don't try to hurt nobody. But I ain't going to have nobody from now on stifling my glory and my joy. And let the preacher get a good sermon up on his belt, and he bring it. And I'll be liking the way he bring it. I'm going to jump up and say, hallelujah. And if you don't like it, you know what y'all can kiss. Get in line with the rest of them, because I got a lot of booty to kiss. And I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to stop stifling my praise, because I believe it. I believe it that I'm going to see the end time in my lifetime, just like you said, we're in the same neck of the woods. And I ain't playing. I'm not playing with this thing called religion. But I see that my co-host got something to say, and I'm letting go here because I'm getting worked up because, oh, that song I just played by Hezekiah Walker, Lord, Do It For Me, has done something to my spirit. It got me woke up.
I understand what you're saying, Miss Terry. I understand exactly what you're saying, because I grew up in a church that you were supposed to act a certain way, And when I ventured out on my own, I actually never went back to that church again. But I know that when I did venture out on my own, you know how you have the, I don't know, I'm kind of teeter-tottering between, I'm so scared of false prophets, let me just say that. And you know, I went to a church that started out, we were in like a conference hall in a hotel, and he grew to a mega church. And then I felt like I was stagnant, because when we got to the mega church size, thousands of members, it's like you just automatically press restart every single Sunday. You know, so, okay, so I've come to Christ. I've accepted, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And now what? And that's where I'm stuck with a whole lot of churches. You can bring the people into the church, but then you have to teach them their steps. I'm stuck at ground one, because you always got to start over, because you just let 100, you just pulled in 100 new members this Sunday. You know, and I think that was my main, that's my main concern with churches today, is you always preaching to bring the people inside the church, but now that we're inside the church, you know, half the congregation is waiting to move forward in their teaching, but you're still stuck with bringing more people, just packing your church, basically. And that's what has me, like, scared. Like, can I believe in this pastor? I mean, I understand what he's saying, and it's good for the moment, but I want a teaching church. I mean, like Miss Perry said, I love to shout. I love to sing. I sing in my car. I sing it. I don't care. I be at work, and I'm playing gospel music. I don't care. You know? But I feel like I'm stagnant, like I'm stuck, where I can't find a church home that's a teaching church.
Exactly.
Right, we need to move on.
If you don't teach the people
what they
need to know, that's how everybody can get a hold of them. That's how you get caught up into these cults, because they don't have that foundation what's right. But I know inside of me, like I know that I hope and pray that I wake up. My mother, bless her heart, she put God so deep in us, man, when we were small. As soon as we was able to utter mama and dada, you know, we made sure that we say a yes, ma'am, and a no, sir. My mother started us from little toddlers, but we had to learn respect. We had to learn God. You know, she, and if we did act like we didn't want to learn them, she had a belt with our name on them. And she put God so deep in us so that, you know, when we grew kind of like stuck, because we was afraid that if we do something like the other kids do, oh, it's going to look bad enough and she's going to tear us up. You know, I had to wait till I was grown and married to run to California to do the things that I wanted to do, because in my house that my mother was running and my daddy, that was not going to happen. And I thank God for her, because when I went to California, which to me is a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, had not been for the foundation of Jesus, I might have been dead out there. I might have been in jail out there. But thank God that when I was hitting rock bottom, because I got a testimony, trust what I tell you, when I was hitting rock bottom, I knew to call on Jesus, and he took me and he kept me, because I have a story that will rock some people's mind if they know what I've been through. And so they can look at me and say, she a clown, or she's over the top. But they don't know how many times I could have been in my grave. And a lot of times, if it wasn't for the teaching that my mother put in me, that I'm a child of a king, and he want more for me than this confusion, this mess. It gave me those spiritual boundaries that I would not cross. But you know, sometimes, because I had to live in this world, sometimes I'm caught in this world, and I'm caught up inside of God. And when people step to my face the wrong way, I get worldly. I'll come at you. But you know, some, thank God that he restrains me for getting my gun and pop, pow, your head away from here, because people don't know. We're in a shameless society, and people are getting tired and fed up, and I'm one of them. I'm a Christian, but I'm fed up with people in my space trying to act crazy. So I need God in me each and every day. I need to be in church every chance I get. I need to be talking to godly people so they can keep me restrained from getting like the world. And I'm so mad at myself that I've been sick lately that I couldn't get in church. But thank God for people like my mother, Laura Matthews, and Lily and Hope for talking to me and keeping me grounded, because it's hard to keep your feet planted on the right things when you live in this world that's shameless. But I just had to get that off of me, and, oh, man, this show, talking about prophecies of the Bible. Ooh, Mr. Brownlee, I thank you for being on the show with us, but I want you to share another revelation from the Bible, because I feel like you may have church up in here. I mean, I'm just like, ooh, you're taking me to a place I didn't know I was going to go to tonight.
Well, you know, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit where you're sealed by. You know, there's a lot of people that don't worship God. They know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and I know this by experience. When I was younger, the Spirit of God would urge me to worship Him. Of course, I opened up and began to worship Him, but a lot of people don't open up. Even though they know Jesus Christ as their Savior and they're on their way to heaven, they won't open up and allow God really to bless them. So what they're doing, they're grieving the Holy Spirit, first of all, but they're also losing out on blessings and rewards for not doing that. That doesn't mean they're going to miss the rapture or miss heaven because they know Jesus Christ, but they won't receive as many as rewards in heaven when they get there. They'll lose some of the rewards because they didn't obey the Spirit of God.
Amen, amen, amen. Listeners,
you know,
out there, if you've got a question for my guest or for my co-host, Rhonda, just hit the number 1 on your phone keypad, or just dial in at 347-945-6003, because we have in church up in here, and, oh, my God, this man, he is an evangelist, ordained, and he's going around spreading the gospel of good news, and he has written 2 books, Simply Revelations and also Rapture Factor Upon America, because America, he said, was one of the places that was supposed to come and be the one to help destroy things when things go down at the end times. And he said he's 56 years old, and he believed that in his lifetime he's going to see the end times. And we live in a shameless society. You know, if you ain't got yourself right, you better get right. You better get in the church. You better get Jesus up in you. And I ain't talking about playing, because God knows if you're playing. Don't be calling his name and acting like, yeah, I'm a Christian. But, you know, you got to walk the walk. You got to talk the talk. You got to fellowship one against the other. You can't just sit home and watch TV and say, oh, I'm doing the church. Uh-uh, you can't do that. You can't sit there at the computer watching the computer saying you're doing church. Uh-uh, that ain't it. When you fellowship, you get your body up out of the house, and you get to a house of worship. If you can't get there, you don't have a ride, call the church. They will get a van to come get you. But you got a fellowship. You can't call Jesus' name, and because you know his name, you're going to be saved. It don't work that way. Am I right or wrong, Mr. Brownlee?
Yeah, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you need to get in a church that preaches Christ, that preaches the truth, and allow the Spirit of God to flow within their service. Because as I said earlier, you shouldn't quench the Holy Spirit. Because you quench him enough, then he won't deal with you anymore. Then you're in trouble.
Right.
The Bible says,
well, we have a guest on here that want to ask you a question.
Two.
Her last digits are 0686. Gail, you got a question for our guest, Mr. Brownlee?
Good evening, Terry. This is delicious. Good evening, Mr. Brownlee. I don't have a question for Mr. Brownlee, but I just want to say to you, Terry, that I appreciate you and I love you so much. Just hearing your little testimony and the things that you're saying on this show, it makes my heart smile, you know, because you're honest and you're open and up front about what you say and about what you do and how you treat people, and that's what I love about you so much. And I want to say, if you ever, ever become a pastor in a church, I will be in the first pew.
Absolutely.
Amen, sister. Amen. Because I'm just going to give you what I got. And I know that when the Lord spared my life for whatever his purpose is, you know, I see things on a simplistic level. I thank God for what he blessed me with, but I don't see that as my blessing. I see my blessing as an opportunity to build relationships, you know, to talk to people, you know, hear their heart. You know, I like to listen with my heart, not my ears, because when you listen with your ears, things don't connect, you know. But, you know, I just thank God, you know, because I've been through ups and downs, as we all have. But it was not for my mom. You know, my mom, I mean, she's my best friend. because many times, you know, I've thought about I just want to just die because after that accident, I was beat up and banged up, had so many different surgeries and just living in pain. One day I just wanted to just die because I thought, why me? And, you know, sometimes when you're talking to your child, some, you know, you dismiss what they got to say. But this one night we were living, I was at her house on 43rd Street in Maryland. I was in the basement, and my brother was there. And I guess she could see that this ain't no just talk. She could see that I was ready to give up. And my mother, bless her heart, is a praying woman. She prayed with me, talked with me all night long to get past it. And then I remember when she finally went upstairs, I went up behind her. I saw this woman on her knees. And while she was struggling to get up to hold onto the bed after praying, that's like, ooh, it just done something to me because, you know, here I couldn't even bend down because of the pain, my body being broken. And here she's an old woman, and she's on her knees praying. And sometimes when you get old, it's hard to get down and get back up. And I saw her struggling to get in the bed, and she was praying for me. And it's those kind of things let me know that whatever your purpose for my life, Lord, I'm here. Use me. You know, I know I'm not the conventional person. I act crazy. I'm funny. You know, I'm in so many different things. But you know something? For real, my heart is true. And I got that foundation because my mother put that in me. You know, and I thank God that the people who surround me with, like Sister Hope from my church, you know, because she understands my craziness, but she keeps me grounded in the Word. You know, her husband's an elder. You know, the people like Mr. Brownlee, Shalonda, Ugale, people like my friend Kelly Moore in Nebraska, people that got a good spirit. And I believe that in this last days and times, these are angels that's going to be together to help lift us each up because I can't do it without you. And I need you in my life. I need this person. I need this person to make it, you know. And I thank God that I finally met you because you're on the same page that I am on. You just want to live right. You just want to treat people right, and just all you expect back.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
There's another caller.
Yes.
Okay, well, put the caller on, Shalonda.
Okay, caller with the last four digits, 4374. Hello, caller, can you hear?
Hey. Hello.
Hey. How you doing?
Hi, Mr. Brownlee. Hi, Terry and your co-host. I didn't get her name.
Shalonda.
Shalonda.
Yes.
How are y'all?
How are you, darling?
I'm doing beautiful. I'm doing beautiful. I agree with Ms. Gail because I was sitting there thinking, I'm going to be in the front row too. She, you all had me get the Holy Ghost and start dialing that number fast, girl. I was like, woo!
Yeah, we have been listening in the whole time, but
yes, we were listening,
yeah,
I was like, oh my goodness, and we just said we got to call. You just moved us to just call. So
that's the Holy Spirit moving through me. That's real right there. You can tell
it
real.
It is. You can tell it's genuine. You can tell it's real. And I like saying what you're saying about people really understanding and learning God and everything. And so I just want to tell y'all just to keep doing what y'all doing, and I love the show. Thank you so much for having it. Yes.
Thank you. You got a question for Mr. Brownlee, because this guy, he prophesies the Bible. He can tell you the prophecies that's coming about. He has shared so much stuff with us. This is your opportunity. For those questions you just didn't quite understand, ask this man of God so he can clear it up for you.
I just want to ask you, what encouraged you to write your book?
The Holy Spirit. I've always been fond of Bible prophecy. I was told earlier in the show, my dad loved Bible prophecy, and he began to teach me as a child about Bible prophecy, and he always used to tell me I took it further than he did. The next generation just took a little further than he did. He used to teach me a lot of things. Now I teach him things. He's still alive. He's 76 years old, but he's retired, and I get to see him from time to time, and I love my papa.
Oh,
amen.
Amen. Well, I love the message that he instilled in you and the encouragement that he had as well as, you know, the Lord. So congratulations on that. And I look forward to seeing your book.
Amen.
Definitely makes me want to go and buy it. Believe me.
He got a few books.
Simply
Revelation.
Go tomorrow and buying it.
Mm-hmm. The books are available on Amazon.com.
He's a simplistic man. He's not bougie. When he read it, it's clear. It gets right to the message. It's not pretentious. And that's the kind of writing that I like, you know. And
right.
When the show is over, Mr. Brownlee, you got my email address. You can send me a PayPal because I want the book, too. Just send me a PayPal invoice because I want it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And you also can get the books, both books, on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or at your favorite bookstore. You just have to order it, though, at the bookstore. And you also get it at Tate Publishing. You can get it at TatePublishing.com and just click on their bookstore, write my name in, Edward L. Brownlee, or either title of the book, and it'll pop up, and you can order it direct from Tate Publishing, too.
That's wonderful.
Oh, great.
Well, I know my little testimony got me all dried out, but I'm going to have to take a little break so I get some water because I came over my lips, man, because I was, like, feeling that thing, you know. And I want the Holy Spirit to use me any and every time he need to. If I can help share Jesus, that's my purpose. That's why I'm here. And we got to learn how to love each other the way Jesus loved us unconditionally, that agapic love. You know, and on that note, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, if you want to call in for the last 20 minutes of the show, call 347-945-6003. And then, you know, hit the number one key. And we know you got a question for our guest, Edward Brownlee. And we'll take a break and be right back. a tune by Pastor Marvin Winans, I Feel Like Going On, and I just want to thank the listeners that tuned in tonight, and my friend James Haldy in Baltimore. I just want to say thank you for tuning in, and I want to give a praise and blessing upon your family members, your daughter, your ex-wife that passed on. God bless them, and God bless you for still being here. For my friend Gail, her mother who's passed on, that she's in the bosom of Christ at this moment. For my mother, she's one of nine, and she's the last one standing. And I know she got to be alone sometime, but I thank God she's still here for me. Because if she wasn't here for me, I don't know where I would be. I say a special prayer for my mom. I say a special prayer for Buster Moore in Nebraska that has been sick, and for his wife who's passed on over a year ago, and for all these people out there that think that they are alone because their family members has passed on. But, you know, God is still here and still alive, and someone else just open up your heart and your love and share that love so that someone don't feel like they're by themselves. Because some days I wake up, I be thinking I'm by myself, and I got to keep telling myself that God ain't going to put nothing on my plate that I can't handle. And sometimes I say, God, can you use somebody else today? Because some days I just don't want to be used. You know, sometimes I just got to get my act together and say, oh, you know, whatever it is that he have me to do, I just need to do it. And just had that blind faith, because you know that faith is a substance of things hoped for and things of evidence not seen. So I just want to thank Mr. Edward Brownlee for being here. And like I said, this brother, man, he's a ordained evangelist. He wrote two books, Simply Revelations. He also wrote the book, The Rapture Factor on America. He also prophesied what's going on in Revelation. He also has pastored in the back. He lives in Illinois. And the guy is grounded in the truth, you know. And we don't have much time left, but before we go, I'm going to give him a chance to say where to get his stuff. But he's going to stop with prayer, because we're going to end the show out on the right note. And after you give a prayer, say how to get his book, we're going to go to Gail, because she's still online, and let her say something. And anybody else who got something they want to say, this is your time to hit the number one on your phone pad, so I know you got your hand up, because we're getting ready to get up out of here. And we're going to let Mr. Brownlee go first, Gail, Shalonda, and we're going to come on back, and we're going to close this thing out. Mr. Brownlee, thank you for being a guest first and foremost, and I sure appreciate your wisdom that you shared with us. And I just love you for taking that time to be here and reminding me and just putting it back in me that I'm a child of God, and that, you know, just because I haven't been in church because of medical reason, that I still don't have to lose my joy. So, you know, I'm putting everybody on point right now. When I come sashay back into church, I got a new attitude. I'm not going to stifle my praise because you want to sit there and you want to look all hoity-toity. I'm not going to stifle my praise. And if you don't like what I say when I jump up and say hallelujah, I got other churches I can go to. But I'm telling you, I'm going to bring the joy that Lord fills me with. I'm bringing it back to the church, because I'm tired of sitting there like I ain't got nothing to be happy for. Mr. Brownlee, you got the floor, darling.
Well, Sister Terry, I'd like to tell you that, you know, the Bible says, let no man take thy liberty in Christ. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I would personally advise you to find a church where you have that freedom of worship and have that liberty in Christ, that you can worship him and praise him and feel mm-hmm. that joy, and that you find fellow Christians mm-hmm. that want the same thing. And I think that would be a great blessing for you. I would like to quickly share a thought.
Sure.
About the church and the tribulation period, why the church will not go through the tribulation period, because there is a lot of discussion on this. There's a lot of prophecy teachers and churches and denominations that believe the church will go through the tribulation. But here's the point. We that are in Christ are blood-bought. If the Antichrist killed all the Christians in the world, what would it gain him? Nothing. It would just send all of us Christians to heaven. It would not defeat God. Satan knows the only way he can defeat God is to destroy Israel, completely destroy Israel off the face of the earth, because God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and King David, that Israel will be forever. The church is spiritual. Israel is a nation that is physically here in the earth, and that's what he's going to use the Antichrist to do, is destroy all Israel. If he can get that done, which is not going to happen, because we're coming back with Jesus to deliver Israel, But if he can get it done, which he won't happen, he can go into heaven and declare God a liar and he wins. But we know that's not going to happen. That's why that was the reason for Hitler. Hitler killed 6 million Jews. Over history, if you study history, the devil has always raised somebody up to try to wipe out the Jews of the earth because the devil knows that promise. And that is the only thing he can get at God. But we know the end of the story, that we're going to win with Jesus Christ and we're going to save Israel. That's why the church will not be here during the tribulation period. There's no reason to be.
Wow.
The point of the Israel.
Wow. Mr. Brownlee, please tell everybody how to get your books and how to reach you if they need you.
Yes, you can get my books, both of them, Simply Revelation and Rapture Factor, at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. You can go to your favorite bookstore and you have to order the book. Or you can go to TatePublishing.com and just type in my name or the book's name and it'll pop up and you can order it from them. And I would sure appreciate it. And Terry, I'd like to know how to get a hold of one of your books. You said earlier that is TerryLyle.com. Is that correct?
That's right. TerryLyle.com. The new book
all
is
small
sold to be out for sale next month, so you'll get 8 books on there. But I'll let you know that my book's about real dialogue. They're a little risque, but you know it's the truth. It is what it is.
What is your favorite book? What is most popular one?
They all, the most popular ones.
Well, which one have you sold the most? Which book you sold the most? Because that's the one I'd like to buy because it's the most popular. That's the one everybody's interested in, and that's the one I'd like to get and read it and have my wife read it. And I'll have my pastor read it, Pastor Debbie.
Ooh, I don't want you to read that one then. The most popular one is my first book, Brownback Poetry, but it has explicit sexual scenes. So, you know,
I'll look them over and I'll get one. I'll just look them over and I'll get one.
Okay.
How's that?
You want to hide that one in the closet. It Ain't So Might Be Safe, or Peeling Back the Mask is about real talk about, you know, the church and the people. You know, Peeling Back the Mask is good, you know. They all talk about.
That sounds like a good title.
Yeah, so the titles. From Confessions to Wild to Say It Ain't So, Insane, Peeling Back the Mask, Brownback Poetry, Speechless, you know, Forgiveness, you know. Just look at the little thing on the website and see whether it interests you, and we can talk later off the phone, you know. But, Brownback Poetry is my bestseller, and I have some ministers who have bought it, and they liked it because it's real. But other people say, oh, my God, it's so nasty because it used sexual term, blah, 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 blah. How do you think he got here? But, you know, I just keep it real. And you got to do what you got to do. I was motivated to write it that way. It's a bestseller. It couldn't be a bestseller for a lot of reasons. So it must be a method to the madness.
Amen.
Yeah, well, Gail, would you like to say something, darling?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Mr. What is your last name again? I'm sorry.
Brownlee.
Thank you, Mr. Brownlee, for coming on tonight and, doing what you did, saying what you said. And, you know, Terry, I love you to death, and I do appreciate you more than you know. And, you know, like I said, if you ever open your own church, I will be on that first pew. And, you know, I do... You know, like what you do when you have your shows. It's something always very interesting going on in the shows that you put on at Blog Talk Radio, and I'm glad you're on Blog Talk Radio and hope you will continue to be on Blog Talk Radio and excel as you have excelled in such a short length of time. You have definitely seemed like you've been on here forever. But
thank God for
you,
because when you told me that I need to switch and get on Blog Talk because the other show I was on was having so much confusion and mess, now I can produce my own show, I couldn't have done it without you, darling.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I just want to let everybody know that I'm on Blog Talk Radio as well. I have a show that goes on every Wednesday over there on Delicious Talk that airs at 10:30 p.m. We talk about anything from nature of sex, current events, everyday things that, you know, just we talk about everything on that show. That's every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. And every first Friday of the month I have my open topic show. On Sunday I have Gail's Blues Joint, which I play blues and sassy music. And the last Friday of the month I do a musical show, which is generally happy hour music or, slow jazz or house music from the 50s on up. I'm on Facebook, MySpace. Well, MySpace is out of the question right now, but I am on there too. But Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, I'm all over the place. I have a fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/ JJ Publishing. That's J-A-Y-J-A-Y Publishing. And my page on there is Gail Delicious Johnson. If you want to know anything else about me, you can just Google Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm also an author, poet, speaker, ghostwriter as well. I have my own publishing company. And thank you, Terry.
You're so welcome, darling. Shalonda, my beautiful co-host, is there some words you'd like to say?
Yes, I want to send out to you.
I can't hear you. You got to speak up, honey.
Yes, I want to say my condolences to Janika Brown and family, who lost her 8-year-old son this week. As he walked home from school, a house exploded and
killed
instantly. Yeah, up in Baltimore. So I wanted to send my condolences out to her, and I also wanted to send my condolences out to one of my best friends, Dante and Angel Stanley, who lost their 4-month-old, and he'll be laid to rest tomorrow. So I'll be in Baltimore tomorrow with him.
Lord, oh Lord.
I want to send my condolences out to both of those families.
Mr. Brownlee, can you say a prayer in behalf of those families that lost loved ones recently?
Sure. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, you heard this lady's request. Father, this family that lost loved ones, we just ask that by your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would comfort their hearts. Lord, that you would bring strength to their spirit, man, Father. Lord, that you would encourage them during this time of sorrow, Father. We just ask that your hand would be upon them. We ask this by faith. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to be optimistic by the sounds of blackness.
You can't. This is your host, authoress Terry E. Lyle. I am so glad you spent the evening with me because you didn't have to be, but you did. So join me next Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Me and Shalonda are going to bring you some interesting story that you're just going to love. We're going to go to the known, to the unknown, to the up, to the down, to the east, to the west, to the wild side, to the calm side. We're just going to bring it to you live. We're going to talk real because this is an adult show. We don't play. We don't play with little kitties. But if you want to tune in or just listen in, call 347-945-6003.
And thank you, Mr. Brownlee, for being here today. Thank you, James Halsey in Maryland. Thank you, Mom, in South Carolina. Thank you for everybody who called in, Gail, this other lady, Minister Adelia H. Wilson, Jay Bryant. Just thank everyone who tuned in and the ones I don't even know the numbers. Thank you for listening. Come back next week because next week we got a guy on there who talks to the dead and another guy's going to be on there on the same show that supposedly can get you sexual climax without touching you. So we got two special guests next week, and you need to come back. And the following week, we got the Paranormal Investigators and a special show on March the 14th. We're bringing the families back, so if anybody is missing or somebody you want to reach out to or you want to just give a shout-out to, we're trying to bring the families back for that special show on March 17th. And on that note, me and Shalonda, we got to get out of here. We got to pay the light bill. I love you. Tune in next week. Bye.
Good night. Love you, too.
Good night.